This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
I really feel like Tim Tams needs to reconsider who is coming up with their flavours at the moment, because last week I was at the checkout minding my own business. I had a podcast in, headphones in, and the checkout girl taps me on the shoulder at the self-service and says, "Do you want these free Tim Tams?" And I was like, "Yeah, why not?"
You'd like, are they double coated? Or because they were, you popped them up on Instagram. They look disgusting.
Yeah, so I just took them and then I looked down and realized that they were dark chocolate and chili.
Yuck.
Yeah, well, I put them up on Instagram and a few people were saying, oh, don't knock them till you try them. But I just don't like hot food. So I don't mind dark chocolate. I bit into it. I'm like, oh, it's okay. And then like a punch to the face of heat. Ugh. My mouth was just burning.
On the topic of weird food combinations, I feel like every family has their own strange combination that they think is normal until they eat it in front of someone else. And for our family, it is crisps with ice cream.
Why are you calling them crisps?
Well, because feel like if you say chips, people think that they are hot chips.
Yeah, everyone's going to try this one because it's the combination of the sweet and the salty, which makes them so delicious.
Yeah, you've got to have them with plain chips, like thin chips.
Yeah, you can't go all out there and get a weird flavor. It has to be plain.
Mm.
I was actually watching this video from YouTuber Jed Barker, and he was trying out people's weird food combinations. And it was really interesting because the only food combination that he liked was Nutella with cheese in a sandwich, and ooh. I could actually see how this could taste good.
But you love Nutella, Sophie.
I feel like you just slap Nutella on anything and it tastes good.
I mean, I do love cheese and I love Nutella, so I feel like maybe I shouldn't complain. Was it melted or cold?
It was just like a cheese slice.
Oh, that's weird.
But if you think about it, when you have a cheese platter and you have that quince paste, which is sweet, it tastes good together.
That is true. Do you know one thing I keep seeing popping up on my YouTube and Instagram feed is smoothies with cauliflower in them. And to me, that just makes me want to vomit.
I feel like that's the fitness influencer starter kit, just throwing cauliflower into a blender of some sort.
Ugh. Well, it annoys me because I see these amazing looking recipes. I think there was like a choc mint smoothie. I'm like, yeah, I'm all about that. And then it had cauliflower in it. I'm like, I'm not doing that.
It's like when you see the brownies that have vegetables in it.
Talking about weird food, I know this isn't a combination, but Reese seems to like to put tomato sauce on everything.
I've never got the sauce thing. Personally, I do not like tomato sauce. I think the only place for tomato sauce is with chips and nothing else.
Or what about a pie? Like bakery goods.
I'm wrong there. And bakery goods. But I'm not the sort of person, I'm not going to put it on a bloody soup like Reese does.
Do you know what I hate? When people put mayonnaise on salad, Reese also does that. And I'm like, that has got so many calories in it.
It defeats the purpose of the salad.
It does.
I'd love to hear everyone else's food combos. We'll start a thread in our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community.
It might be wild and try some of these out if they are vegetarian.
It just gives me an excuse to buy some Nutella and cheese.
Yeah, I think we need to try that one first.
Definitely.
Thank God you're here. Where have you been, bitch? Where have you bloody been?
Just before we get into the main topic, I've got to mention the fact that Amy isn't actually here again today. This is the third time in 2 weeks that she hasn't been involved, so she's on notice.
Do you reckon in the album artwork we should just put a big cross over her face? Or just take a new peek of us together?
Or couldn't we just crop her out? Like, that might be easier.
She is on the end. That could work out well.
I think if she's not back by Friday, we either start looking for a new co-host or it's just you and I.
Yeah, I think that works.
Yeah.
Were you silent? Or were you silenced?
It's the interview that rocked the palace. Last Monday night, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry shared explosive allegations of racism, emotional neglect and bullying. Since the interview dropped, generations have been divided, shock jocks have been sacked and the Queen has issued a statement. Before we get into the fallout, Kate, what did you think of the interview?
I absolutely loved it. I was a little bit concerned before it aired that it might not go into too much detail. I thought maybe they might beat up a few things. However, it really did not disappoint.
I really didn't think they were going to divulge as much as they did, and I didn't think that Harry would play such a vocal part in the interview as well, because you could really tell he was really disappointed in his family and angry.
Yeah, exactly right. I really loved hearing from Harry. As you said, it was amazing to hear such insight into the royal family. And I suppose the last time that's actually happened was in 1995 with Princess Diana. And we were only 6 years old. So it almost felt exciting to be a part of history in the making as these explosive allegations came out, which I think will really change the royal family forever.
Yeah, as you say, Kate, it really did feel like a very momentous time in history, and particularly because they were touching on such important matters like race and mental health. And I feel like it's so interesting when you do look back at Princess Diana and the legacy she has left. She was so brave in the first place for coming out and speaking about mental health at that time when it was something that was looked on in a different light. And that, I think, is what is so disappointing about some of the fallout from this interview, is the fact that people have questioned whether Meghan Markle really was suicidal during that time. And I just think that is just such a disgusting reflection on society. I thought we'd moved past all of that. You look at the huge statistics that are coming out on suicide at the moment, and all of the work we've done to make it people feel comfortable to speak about how they're feeling. And anyone who is going through mental health struggles and sees this, they're going to say, I'm not going to be believed if I come out and say something.
It is very worrying. Suicide is the leading cause of death for people in Australia under the age of 45. And I personally have been touched by suicide in my life. One of my close friends took his own life. So I felt very protective of Meghan when she started speaking about this. And as Harry pointed out, Princess Diana, when she spoke about the fact that she tried to take her own life, had no one there. And I really love that Harry was there for Meghan. And it seems like the history with Diana was a really big motivator for Harry to be there for his wife. I mean, we heard him take a few digs at his dad for not being there for his mum. And I can completely understand where he is coming from.
Yeah. That part of the interview where Harry spoke about his mother and how difficult it would have been for her to be on her own, that really struck a chord with me because, as I've mentioned on the podcast before, I'm a huge Princess Diana admirer and I've watched so many documentaries about her life. And I just think that Harry is clearly so affected by what's happened to his mother, but it's opened up his eyes in a really great way because he's seen what has happened. He's seen what a terrible, terrible role model his father has been in regards to his treatment of women. And he has just come out to be the best husband.
Oh, he really is. And Karl Stefanovic made a really interesting point on one of the Channel 9 Royal wrap-up shows. And he said that Harry, as a kid, felt this enormous need that he wanted to protect his mum, and obviously he couldn't do that. So he went through a lot as a child, and he now has that desire to protect his wife, and he's done that. And instead of being applauded, he then had to face all this scrutiny. Meghan's had to face all this scrutiny, and I'm so glad that they have actually been able to finally come out and share their story. And it's really annoyed me because a lot of people are like, oh, should they have shared the story? Like, what do they get from it? And it's like, how can you ask that question? Can you imagine being a 35-year-old woman who is actually a famous actress, who has been independent her whole life, and then suddenly her voice is taken away from her? I think it is disgusting that we then blame this driven, intelligent, successful woman for wanting to speak out about what has happened to her. She has suffered racial slurs from the press and allegedly from the royal family. She has experienced huge mental anguish and was not afforded any help. I feel like she has every right to set the record straight on what has happened to her.
One line that really stood out to me in Meghan's interview was she said, I've always been outspoken, especially about women's rights. And that's the sad irony of the last 4 years. I've advocated for so long for women to use their voice and then I was silent.
I really loved that quote, and I particularly also enjoyed Meghan's reference to The Little Mermaid. So she said that the movie came on at Frogmore Cottage, so she started watching, but she started to draw parallels to the story and her own life. So The Little Mermaid famously had to give up her voice in order to marry the prince. However, in the end, she got her voice back, and I think that was such a powerful way of explaining it. I know some people thought it was cringe, but I got shivers down my spine when I heard that.
So did I, actually. I thought it was so powerful as well because as little girls, we all grew up reading those books and glamorizing the life of a princess or the life of someone with status and power. And at the end of the day, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. It shows just how important it is to speak out. And it's much more important to have your voice and something to say rather than just be this fairy tale princess.
That's really got me thinking about how a lot of people were complaining about the fact that Meghan and Harry are living in a $14 million mansion, and for some reason that prevents them from saying anything or complaining about anything, because I feel like there are not many people that would actually want to be born into the royal family. Personally, I think that would be my idea of hell.
The other critique I didn't like was people saying that, oh, they've left England because they don't want media scrutiny and attention. Mm-hmm. The reason they have spoken out is because they have literally not commented on this once, and they are so sick of the narrative, the false narrative being out there about them. And a journalist from the Daily Telegraph, she summed it up really well. She said that Harry and Meghan speaking out is actually the ultimate act of courage. Mm. After years of having to stay silent, Harry and Meghan have chosen to share their side of the story and, as millennial as it sounds, speak their truth. Much like Princess Diana, they're reclaiming control of their narrative and accepting the heavy consequences that comes with it. And I just think that that is so powerful because it would not be easy for Prince Harry to look as though he is turning his back on his family. He has grown up pretty much institutionalized from the firm. It would be so tough for him to say anything negative about his family and the reality of living as a royal.
Yeah, and all these people are saying, oh, well, they decided to take a step back from the royal family because they don't want to be involved in all the media. Did you actually listen to the interview? Because they said that their whole stepping back thing was not actually their choice in terms of how it was portrayed to the public. They simply wanted to move to another country amongst the Commonwealth and start to do activities away from the UK. That doesn't necessarily mean that they were decided to go quiet and never to be seen again.
And this is what I don't understand. They have so many so-called PR experts around them. Couldn't one of them see that Meghan joining the royal family was literally the breath of fresh air they needed? It was a way to show that they were diverse, a way that they could actually be relatable to a younger generation of people, as well as people of colour, and prove that long overdue diversity has actually hit the UK.
And they had such fanfare around them when they got engaged. Everyone loved it. They were the number one royals, which seems, according to Harry, to have been an issue because there seems to be jealousy arising from that.
Oh, I love that because I feel like now a lot of millennials and Gen Zers, because they have watched The Crown, we can perfectly see what it was like when Diana went to Australia and just how immature and jealous Prince Charles was.
Yeah, it's actually pretty sad that they seem to care so much about their public persona. Yet, as you said, they had the perfect PR opportunity, but they've created an absolute PR disaster that could spell massive issues for the Commonwealth.
I feel like we should move on to the most serious allegations that were levelled at the royal family during this interview, and that was, of course, to do with race. So Meghan and Harry alleged that a senior member of the royal family said they were concerned about how dark their son Archie's skin might be.
I feel like Oprah's reaction was everyone's reaction, well, every normal person's reaction, to be like, what?
I personally couldn't wait for the interview to air that Monday night, so I was keeping a look at the articles that were coming out of the US. And to be honest, I was really shocked that these allegations came out, not because I don't believe they didn't happen, but I was surprised that Harry would feel comfortable to reveal that. Because we've all heard what Prince Philip has said during interviews and his little indiscretions along the way.
Well, it is interesting that Prince Harry came out and told Oprah that if she was asked, to reiterate that it actually wasn't Prince Philip or the Queen that made those comments. And that really does narrow it down to who in the family it is, because the only other senior royals are Prince Charles, Prince William. Is Camilla considered a senior royal?
I don't know.
And Princess Kate. Out of those four, you would assume it would be Prince Charles.
The thing that I found really strange during the interview was Prince Harry and Meghan's unwavering support to the Queen. She is the head of the firm. She is the head of the royal family there. Surely she has some say in what's happening there at the moment. Surely she's not just being led by these advisors the whole time.
Yeah, but it's tough when it's family. I mean, who doesn't like their grandparents? Like, grandparents are the best. Also, the Queen is extremely popular. So at the moment, there's a lot of talk about countries leaving the Commonwealth, Australia becoming a republic, but I don't see that happening while the Queen is still in power.
Do you think it's just because Prince Harry has been so institutionalized by the firm, as they put it, that he kind of feels like he can't go against her at all, but he can blame other people beneath her?
Yeah, but if you think about your own relationship with your family, who do you normally get angry with, your grandparents or your parents?
Yeah, like,
your grandparents are the best people. They're always spoiling you. And I feel like the Queen would be no different. I mean, on The Crown, she did get portrayed as, you know, not being very close with her children. But I feel like even if you're not close with your children, you always seem to go the extra mile for your grandchildren.
Well, back to Meghan, I find it so troubling that in 2021, people are still finding it difficult to believe women of color when they come out and talk about racism and mental health. I mean, they have such a long history of exclusion. You only have to look at the Queen's cousins. They are such a great example, and we saw it in The Crown. The Queen's cousins were sent away for being disabled, and this is their own bloodline that they're sending away.
They pretended that they were dead, and none of the family members even went and visited them.
Yeah, that was absolutely shocking. And what I just find so disappointing in this day and age, that it is so clear that the mere suggestion of black genes entering the bloodstream of the royal family has just sent the country into chaos.
Well, ultimately, there is no possible way for the King of England or the Queen of England to be black. The monarchy has been set up in that way. So any question about the monarchy not being racist is kind of laughable.
Well, I mean, we just even had to look at the fact that Meghan and Harry revealed that Archie was not offered a title or protection.
It's bloody disgusting. I mean, there has been some speculation that Meghan might not have got the facts right, and that about 100 years ago, the king brought in a tradition to kind of cap the amount of senior royals, and that once Prince Charles became king, then Archie would have become a prince. But I feel like everyone's grabbing at straws and trying to take everything Meghan and Harry said out of context to kind of prove that they're liars. And it's like, I think they know how the royal family works. Maybe Archie was never going to be a prince.
Well, it'll be interesting to see when Prince Charles finally does come king, because I don't think it will be too long. I mean, you just have to look at the Queen's age to know. I know that sounds really awful and morbid to say, but it could be a number of years we might find out whether he is a prince or not.
That's true. And I think it's only a matter of time once Prince Charles becomes king that we see a lot of countries leaving the Commonwealth, because no one likes Prince Charles.
Can they just skip him? He's an absolute dickhead.
I know. Well, it sounds like Prince William's not a lot better. Maybe Harry should be king. I think Princess Diana actually came out and said that she thought out of her two boys that Harry would make the best king. And I suppose that's the most annoying part of this whole ridiculous monarchy. It's not based on your talent or ability. It's based on your bloodline and when you were born. And it's pretty ridiculous that an Australian can't be head of state. We have to be dictated by an ancient royal family that only their children, their firstborn, can be head of our country. How fucking ridiculous.
I feel like we should get into the response from the royal family. It took them 36 hours to put out a formal statement.
Can you just imagine what it would have been like in that media room? I mean, I've had to put out awkward statements before about basketball and netball. I can't imagine having to help the Queen write this statement.
I feel like every single word would have been analysed to the nth degree. So for those who haven't heard the statement, it said, "The whole family is saddened to learn the full extent of how challenging the last few years have been for Harry and Meghan. The issues raised, particularly that of race, are concerning. While some recollections may vary, they are taken very seriously and will be addressed by the family privately. Harry, Meghan, and Archie will always be much loved family members."
Despite it being a very short statement, you can read into it a lot. Firstly, did you notice that Harry, Meghan, and Archie didn't have any titles attached to their name? Usually it's like the Duchess of Sussex. You know, it's just they've used their first names.
Yeah, it's kind of indicating that they may be looking to strip them of any royal titles they have at the moment, and also putting them at arm's length.
Exactly right. And more importantly, the Queen made no reference to the allegations Meghan brought up about her not receiving any help over her mental health issues. And the fact that they said they're going to be dealing with the race issues internally. Hang on, last week you're publicly investigating Meghan being a bully. However, you're going to keep it in-house that one of your family members is racist. Sorry, what?
I also didn't like the way that they said, while some recollections may vary, because they are then putting a narrative that Meghan is a liar. And this is a narrative that the media and people who don't like her are eating up.
Overall, I think to the untrained eye, it would have looked like quite a good statement. However, there's a lot going on underneath the surface, the connotation that the allegations are lies. There's no follow-up. So it's not like we're going to do this and give you a statement after. It's like, this is it. This is all we're getting from them on this topic forever.
The fact that they haven't even acknowledged Meghan Markle's struggles with mental health in this statement is shocking to me. Suicide and mental health, particularly in the UK right now, is one of their biggest issues. Can you imagine the suicide rates that are happening in the UK at the moment because of the lockdown in place?
And we've got to remember, this institution has a lot of employees, a lot of family members, and it's very worrying that one of the senior members of that royal family was refused help for their mental illness. What about the people working there? Like, that is an actual HR problem.
Well, she went to HR and she was told that she couldn't get any help because she wasn't an official employee. Yet HR is taking the bullying claims against her so seriously.
What an absolute joke. And talking about absolute jokes, I feel like we can't not talk about Piers Morgan. Now, for those lucky enough not to know who he is an English journalist, a bit like a Kyle Sanderlands type shock jock, I'd say.
Except he's on morning TV.
Yeah, he's on Good Morning Britain, and he launched a scathing attack on Meghan, saying he didn't believe she was suicidal. He also labelled Meghan a liar. And at this point, one of his co-hosts butted in and accused him of trashing Meghan only because she cut him off. Now, Morgan then stormed off set and subsequently has left the ITV show. So a lot of people are saying, well, what's this all about Meghan Markle cutting Piers Morgan off? Like, was there a friendship beforehand?
Yeah, I found this so fascinating. So apparently Piers followed Meghan on Twitter and she sent him a direct message that apparently read, well, hello there. Thanks for the follow. Big fan of yours.
Well, to put this into context, this was years ago when she was on Suit.
Yeah, well, apparently then over the next 18 months, they sent a lot of emails back and forth about different Suit storylines before they met at a local pub in Kensington in June 2016. And according to Piers, that same night, Meghan then met up with Prince Harry at a private members club. And then since then, they have never spoken.
Does he really think that Prince Harry is going to allow his new girlfriend to have a friendship with a well-known shit-stirring tabloid journalist?
It is so evident that he is so bothered that she has ghosted him. And he also seems really bothered that she is now more important than him.
He's just a bloody dickhead, and he's continuing to ride off Meghan's coattails. He continues to bag her out to make himself relevant, and I'm glad ITV decided to get rid of him. Unfortunately, though, their ratings have dropped a considerable amount since he's left the show, and there's a petition to get him back.
Oh, my God. We're talking about more fallouts. Prince William did address the issue briefly. He was asked by a reporter when he was out visiting a school in London whether the royal family was racist. He replied, "We're very much not a racist family." Unfortunately, Prince Charles couldn't seem to actually muster an answer because he was asked if he watched the interview and all he was able to do was nervously laugh and walk away.
It was a great time for him to be wearing a mask because he could kind of fob it off without seeing too much of a reaction. I mean, he did have an awkward laugh, as you said, but you can't really read his expression on his face with a mask on.
I say that he didn't muster up an answer, but I do actually feel quite sympathetic for them in the sense that they wouldn't be allowed to say anything at the moment.
Oh, no. I mean, I was surprised that Prince William actually said something.
Well, apparently Kate Middleton was sending some sort of cryptic messages during a video for International Women's Day.
Yeah, this story reminded me very much so of Britney Spears' cryptic messages that people think she's sending through Instagram. So someone pointed out that Kate was wearing some $154 earrings from brand Mizumo, which is apparently one of Meghan's favorite brands. And according to this article, the drop earrings are made of a heart-based healing crystal that radiates love, compassion, and all-round good vibes. Is this not the biggest load of shit you've ever heard?
I think they are completely clutching at straws there with that one.
Well, there was also an article written about Meghan Markle's outfit, and apparently a lot of people on Twitter were saying that it looked like a bird had pooed on her dress, and I didn't even notice it until Reese pointed it out.
Do you love the fact that she's saying something so important, yet we all have to focus on what she's bloody wearing?
Well, I actually find it quite interesting because she was wearing a $4,700 Armani dress, and what people thought was bird poo was actually lotus flowers. Now, the lotus flower symbolizes rebirth, purity, enlightenment, and self-regulation. And a spokesperson for Meghan actually came out and said, yes, she was aware of the meaning behind the print. And the spokesperson said, the Duchess understands that a lotus seed can withstand thousands of years without water, able to germinate over two centuries later. That's so deep.
Well, a lot of people also drew the comparison between her outfit and an outfit that Wallis Simpson wore. So Wallis Simpson is, of course, the American actress who King Edward abdicated the throne for.
When I heard this, I was like, oh, yeah, right. And then I Googled it and the dresses were pretty similar. People are clearly watching this very closely because they also noticed that Meghan was wearing a bracelet from Princess Diana. And I just thought that was such a lovely touch.
Yeah, I love that it was so symbolic. And I suppose what's really stood out following this interview is the huge generational divide of opinions when it has come to Meghan and Harry.
I was really shocked that anyone could be anti-Meghan after watching the interview. I had chills going down my spine when she was talking. I really felt for her and Harry. However, a lot of the older generation seemed to think that it was very tacky of them to do this interview and that they think they've really gone out there to destroy the reputation of the royal family.
Yeah, well, in the UK in particular, their opinions were really split along age and political lines. So taking a look at the YouthGov survey, 36% of British residents said they sympathised more with the Queen and the royal family, while 22% said they sympathised more with Harry and Meghan. And when you look at the breakdown of age, 48% of 18 to 24-year-olds sympathise with Meghan and Harry, while only 9% over 65 sided with the couple.
Yeah, I think it's very indicative of the conversations I've then had with older people on the topic and also comments that I've been seeing online.
And just to wrap this conversation up, I really wanted to finish with this quote by a journalist from the Daily Telegraph. She said, in the same way that Diana was so widely admired by women of her generation who related to her relationship and mental health struggles, Meghan will always find support in her own generation, particularly from women of colour who know what it's like to face racist comments that white people often can't recognise. Strong women who were labelled as bullies for being assertive, and above all, any woman who has ever had to carve out her own happy ending.
I think every strong woman in history has had to walk down a similar path, and I think it's the strength that causes the confusion and the fear. Why is she strong? Where does she get it from? Where is she taking it? Where is she going to use it? Why do the public still support her?
Let's get into the influencer wrap, and Sophie, Sarah's Day has announced some changes to her wedding.
That's right. Before we go into them, I feel like we've got to make sure we're all on the same page. So Sarah uploaded a video 2 weeks ago where she was showing her wedding trials in Byron Bay. So they were staying at Elements Resort where they're supposed to be holding their wedding. So we saw Sarah get hair and makeup trials. We saw them vlogging in the resort saying, I can't believe next time we're here, we're going to be married.
Plot twist.
And we were left on this cliffhanger because she said after filming the last scene, everything has subsequently changed and she was going to fill us in on a full new vlog.
Now, that vlog took a couple of weeks, and in between that, there was a lot of drama on Salty's Day, which is essentially a hate page that now has been taken down about Sarah. And as we touched upon on our podcast episode, this page went out of its way to ruin Sarah's wedding. So they shared an electronic invite with all the private personal details about the wedding, including the date, the venue, the location.
So now that we've all caught up, we can talk about what actually has changed in Sarah's wedding. So in the recent video, which was a really old school Q&A with Kurt, which I actually really enjoyed the video. I feel like they haven't done one like this for a while.
Yeah, it was pretty good. What threw me though was that Sarah decided to wear a sheet mask for the majority of the interview. I'm like, I can't take her seriously wearing that.
No, I was glad she took it off. Anyway, so in the video, Sarah revealed that they're basically having to plan their wedding from scratch. And this made me feel sick inside. Like, this is one of those nightmare situations. They're only 2 months out from the wedding and they're having to plan everything again.
Surely you'd push it back. I mean, so many people have pushed their weddings back with COVID.
Well, I feel like she was really careful in what she said because obviously they didn't want to look like they were bagging out Elements in any way. So she explained that they were originally planning to get married in the Elements outdoor venue across from the beach. But for some reason, she didn't go into why, for some reason they don't offer this outside facility anymore. So instead, they were then going to do plan B and hold it inside a function space where a lot of conferences and meetings are held. So basically she was saying that they would have to really dress the place up with drapery and flowers. So they had a few quotes from contractors and they got those quotes when they were in Byron Bay, and basically it was going to cost them 3 times what they thought for their wedding.
I hate to think what that is because I would assume Kurt and Sarah would have quite a bit of coin, and to think that it was 3 times out of their budget is pretty crazy.
Well, they had to also preface that they had spoken to the team at Elements and they all were on the same page that it was very expensive to achieve the vision they wanted. So they are going to get married at an undisclosed venue at the same time and the same date though.
What I find crazy is that you would go to Byron Bay and then not have your wedding outside. Like, it doesn't really make sense that they would have had their wedding in a conference center. That doesn't sound like them at all.
On the topic of Sarah's day, I feel like we have to touch on her new White Fox boutique campaign.
Yeah, this was very different from what we've seen from Sarah. She seems to have embraced a lot of the feedback that she's got on board because her campaign was very inclusive.
Yeah, well, she held a competition to find people to feature in the video, which is quite different to what she usually does do. Usually it's her and 2 models that she's in some beautiful location with.
Yeah, it was interesting to see this unfold on social media and then the end product. The video was very long, I've got to say, but the messaging was on point and it was very what she should have done a long time ago.
Yeah, I thought the video was great. If you look at it with no context, it was a really great message that all women are beautiful. I do think it just felt a little bit awkward because of the controversy.
Yeah, it was awkward. And I feel bad saying that because I think everyone should have the opportunity to improve and be able to learn from their mistakes. And I think that this was a great sign that she is learning. However, you couldn't help but feel like it was a little bit tokenistic and awkward.
Yeah, it has been critiqued for being quite performative.
Yeah.
But I think she is in a difficult position because if she just goes back to using size 6, tall, white, blonde models, she's going to be slammed again. So I feel like she's in this really tricky place of not quite knowing what to do. But yeah, even just on a point, because I feel like we always touch on Sarah, we don't touch on the brand. Because at the end of the day, White Fox Boutique, this is their clothing line. So I find it a little bit hypocritical of White Fox Boutique because they put out this video, which is really championing being beautiful in your own skin and being inclusive. Yet this week they've held another influencer event in Byron Bay and there are no different sizes on the trip.
Yeah, I clicked on their story and was very much taken aback. I just can't believe these brands continue not to include size diversity on their brand trips.
It's just utterly confusing because the women who were featured on the video, they're everyday women.
Who wear the clothes.
So where are they seeing themselves on this trip? Who is like them on the trip?
Yeah, nobody. And also, I'm sure those influencers have not paid for their trip. They've obviously got it for free. They've been extremely spoiled. They've got lavish accommodation, you know, an abundance of beautiful food, probably free clothes. What did the girls that appeared in the White Fox Sarah's Day campaign get? Just the chance of being on the video?
Yeah, why isn't that the prize? That would be a great prize. Let's send them on the trip.
Exactly. And people would love it. I would love to see it. And plus, then you can get a chance of seeing what the clothes look like on everyday people.
Now, just putting it out there, White Fox Boutique, if you do need a new PR team, send Hula Media your way.
I know. I think they need a name change as well.
Yeah.
Well, moving on, and Danny Mansudi's most recent Instagram posts have got a lot of people talking.
Yeah, well, now that she's back in Australia, she seems to be putting out content that is quite philosophical and deep. So, I mean, I read this quote she put out and I was like, wow, that was really clever and well put together. I was later alerted to the fact that it was a quote from someone else. She did credit them. Anyway, so The crux of her post was basically saying that she believes Instagram is dying and she's so done and bored with the perfection that it perpetuates on there. She also said that she's drawn to more unfiltered and authentic content like that on podcasts and TikToks. She also said that this year has taught her that there's so much more to life than screens and what we're looking at right now.
It's a very strange statement for an influencer who makes their money from a platform like Instagram to put out there into the world.
Well, yeah, another part of the quote was, "You are so much more magical than these social media platforms make you feel." And I feel like influencers need to have some responsibility for the way that they make other people feel. I feel like a lot of them talk about, oh, just do a social media detox, or sometimes I feel down from other people. I'm sorry. At the end of the day, I feel like some of these influencers really are responsible for the way that they do make people feel.
Well, Dani Mansudi hasn't been shy about promoting her plastic surgery. I mean, just recently she got breast implants during the lockdown. And while, of course, it is her decision whether she gets surgery, it doesn't actually lessen the effect it has on young people, because young people see this beautiful girl on Instagram that still doesn't think she's good enough, and then she is going and getting plastic surgery to kind of fill that void.
It is so weird too, because her feed is so curated as well. I mean, why not? It'd be much more powerful if you put that up and instead of a pretty picture of the sunset, we had a picture that was real, raw, honest. I just found the whole thing a little bit perplexing.
It was. Well, moving on to another OG influencer, and Zoella and her boyfriend Alfie have announced they're expecting their first baby together. Now, they have been a couple for over 9 years, and I feel like they are the OG YouTube couple.
Did you know that they actually met because Zoella lined up to meet him at a meet and greet? So he was a YouTuber at the time as well.
No, I didn't know that. Yeah. That's wild.
Well, so Zoella announced that she is 3 months pregnant, and they both revealed that they are having a baby girl, which is due in September. She said that at first she was convinced she was having a boy because she kept dreaming about her future son, but they then found out that it was a girl.
It seems like there's a lot of UK influencers falling pregnant. I really feel like the lockdown has a lot to answer for.
They did reveal in the video that they have been trying for a baby, and this led fans to come up with the hypothesis that maybe they've secretly got married in lockdown as well.
I love how people have so much time in their hands to come up with this shit.
The thing that I thought really came through in the video was that they were clearly so excited and grateful to be having a baby. And it was really interesting because Zoella was sharing about the fact that she doesn't actually have a bump yet. So they thought by the time that they filmed the video, they'd be able to be like, here's my bump. But because she's so petite, she's not yet showing. And the doctor said, you're not going to pop for a while now.
So just tell them.
That's right. Well, she actually hasn't put out a video for 2 months. So she said that she found it really difficult to vlog because she felt like she was keeping a secret from everyone. So she apologized profusely for not putting content out there. She also explained that she's been feeling really exhausted and the pregnancy has been quite difficult on her. What I love though was this was such a good advert for Sprite. She said that Sprite has literally been her savior for 3 months now because it's been giving her that sugar boost to be able to do things.
They're going to come out of the woodwork and offer her a sponsorship now, I feel.
What was really interesting in this video was we got a glimpse of what it's like behind the scenes. So they showed the moments before clicking post on their baby announcement Instagram post, and they both looked so nervous. Like Zoella's hand was shaking before they put it up. And they got 1.9 million likes on this post and 48,000 comments.
I have been keeping up to date with Elle Darby's pregnancy cravings, and it is so hard watching her videos and seeing her eating all this delicious food when you're not pregnant, because you're like, well, I probably shouldn't be having that.
I love because she said she's never been so ravenous in her life, and I feel like she has been really enjoying herself, which I love. And she said that she doesn't really want the experience of pregnancy to end. She's been enjoying it that much. They do sound so excited to meet their son.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cute.
I think they will be wonderful parents.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Well, I'm quite ravenous, so I think we're going to wrap things up now because I'm planning my McDonald's takeaway order in my head as I drive home.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you have enjoyed today's episode, could you please leave us a 5-star rating and also join our Facebook community? We're at Outspoken, the podcast community.
And make sure you give us a follow on Instagram. We're at Outspoken_the_podcast.